الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, with regards to الواجبات في الصلاة. And the author he mentioned that الواجبات ثمانية, that these obligatory actions in the prayer, they are eight. These obligations which are in the prayer, they are eight. And we have seen the difference between the arkan and the wajibat. The wajibat, they are eight. The author, he mentioned, jami'u at-takbirat, ghayra takbirat al-ihram, all of the statements, Allahu Akbar, except for the one entering into the prayer, takbirat al-ihram. This one is a pillar, as has proceeded. And we have seen that from the evidences of this obligation was the hadith of Abi Musa radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about following the imam, and he mentioned about the obligation for those behind the imam to follow the imam and how that will occur. فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ وَرَكِعَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَرَكِعُوا. And whenever the imam he makes takbir, whenever the imam he says Allahu Akbar and then makes ruku', then you say Allahu Akbar and then make ruku', and then make ruku'. And then likewise he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا كَبَّرَ وَسَجَدَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَاسْجُدُوا. And whenever the imam he makes takbir, he says Allahu Akbar and makes sujood, then you say Allahu Akbar and make sujood. So here this is with regards to takbirat al-intiqal, those takbirat in moving from one position to the next, moving from standing into the ruku' and moving into the sujood and the likes like this. So here is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make these takbirat. So therefore, what is understood from that is that it's an obligation. An obligation, along with the fact that this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, that he would make the takbirat in this manner, and has been described from his prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would make the takbirat in moving from these positions in a number of narrations. And also in the hadith of the one who prayed bad, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered him before moving from each position to make the takbira. And along with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. So with these evidences here, the Prophet ordering for the takbira to be made, takbirat al-intiqal, and along with the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would perform them in all of his salawat, and he ordered the people to pray in the manner that he prayed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of this is an indication that these takbirat, they are wajibat, they are obligations. We have seen likewise after that is the statement Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, that one he will say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in the ruku', and to say it one time is an obligation. We have seen in our previous class the evidences for the likes of this as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about that, فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ فَجَعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوعِكُمْ, that you should make this in your ruku', and that it was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to do that likewise in his ruku', from the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, which is in Sahih Muslim. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said as well, فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُ فِيهِ الرَّبَّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. A number of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordering this affair, and likewise himself doing that, along with the fact that he continuously prayed in this manner sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he ordered the people to pray in the manner that they saw him praying. So therefore this is an obligation. Also the statement Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah, this also is an obligation. This also is an obligation for the one who is an imam, or for the one who is praying behind, or for the one who is praying by himself. For the one who is the imam or the one who is praying by himself, he must say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدَهُ. The Imam, he will say this, and likewise the one who is praying alone by himself, he must say this likewise. He must say this likewise, and this is an obligation from the obligations of the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say this, and this is what is narrated from him sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this position. So therefore, it's an obligation to make this statement, and to make this statement as an obligation. To make this statement as an obligation. As for the one who is praying behind the Imam, then he's excused from this statement, and he will say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. All of them, they will say that. All of them, the Imam and the one praying behind the Imam, and also the one who's praying alone, they will all say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. As for the one praying behind the Imam, he will not say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدًا. And this was from the narration of Anas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned, وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدًا فَقُولُوا رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And whenever the Imam, he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدًا, then all of you must say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. That all of you must say this. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered those praying behind the Imam to say رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, and did not order them to say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدًا. And there is no mention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordering for this for the Ma'mum. Rather, the Ma'mum is ordered to say رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. So these are those obligations that had preceded in the previous class. Likewise, the statement سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَالَى in the sujood. In the sujood, as what has come in our previous class, we discussed this issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said about this statement, the statement of Allah, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى, that he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, اجْعَلُوهَا فِي سُجُودِكُمْ, that you make this statement here in your sujood. And also as well in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu, that he would hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in sujood saying the statement here, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَالَى, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَالَى. And we have seen as well that the people of knowledge, they recommend and they prefer for a person to say this in the sujood, and likewise the dhikr of the ruku' to say them at least three times. And this is preferred. The obligation is to say it one time, but they prefer that one, he will not say it less than three times. They will not say it less than three times. So as for the one who's praying by himself, he can say it as many times as he likes, and according to his circumstances, situation, he can repeat it over and over if he's praying alone by himself. Likewise, the ma'mum who's praying behind the imam, he can repeat them over and over without number, and until his imam stands or moves to the next position, until his imam moves to the next position. As for the imam, then it's been some of the people of knowledge mentioned that it's recommended for him to say it only three times. Others, they mentioned nine times, and the likes like this. And others, they mention according to that which is easy for the ma'mumin. So if the imam, he knows that those praying behind him do not mind or will not be disturbed if he lengthens the ruku' slightly to say this dhikr more than three times, then it's allowed for him and good for him. And if he knows that they will be bothered by that, or they will find that to be heavy, then he will not increase over three times. So in general, what he will say, the likes of these adhkar, as many times as he likes. But the obligation is to say it at least one time, and it's preferred to say it at least three times. As for in the ruku', then he will say that. Then when he will say the obligation, preferably even three times, then after that also make other adhkar as well that have come in the ruku'. And we have seen some of them on our previous class. As for in the sujood, then in this position, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يُكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدِ, that the closest a slave he will be to his Lord is while he is in prostration. فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. So therefore, make a lot of invocation. Make a lot of invocation, supplication, meaning while in prostration. So one, he will make the obligatory dhikr, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, at least one time, preferably three times. And then after that, he will supplicate. He can make it more than three times likewise, as many as he likes. But also, he will benefit from the prostration by supplicating and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his needs, for his needs. So no doubt, whenever one is praying by himself, then he is amiru nafsi. He is in charge of himself, and he can lengthen his prayer as he likes. As for the one who's praying behind the imam, then he is restricted to following the imam. So if he has time to make the adhkar in that manner, and then to supplicate as he desires, then it's allowed for him. But whenever his imam, he stands, then he will stand along with the imam, and he will not remain in sujood while the imam has risen from that position. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innama ju'ila al-imamu liyutamma bihi," that the imam, he was only placed as the imam in order to be followed. And the issue of the imam and lengthening these positions, for example, in sujood here that we're discussing, he will make the adhkar as has proceeded three times, preferably at least one time the obligation, and preferably three times. And then if he knows that the people behind him are from those who will not mind, or they will not have a problem if he lengthened the sujood longer than that, and he made the dhikr more times than three, or he made the dhikr three times and then he supplicated and called on Allah Azza wa Jal, and he without elongating in a manner that will be hard on those behind him, this is allowed for him likewise. So the issue with regards to the imam is going to go back to the jama'ah and the congregation. If the congregation is known that they are able to bear the likes of this, then alhamdulillah, he will take advantage and he will worship Allah in this manner. And if he finds that the people, they find this to be heavy and the likes, then he will not lengthen the prayer in a manner that will be heavy on them. The issue now is that these are obligations. These are obligations. Here after this, the author, he says, وَالتَّشَهُدُ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْجُلُوسُ لَهُ وَالتَّشَهُدُ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْجُلُوسُ لَهُ, and the first tashahud, and sitting for that. So the tashahud al-awwal is a wajib, and also sitting for it is wajib. We have seen that the tashahud al-akhir, this one is a rukn, this one is a pillar. And sitting for it likewise is a pillar. So whenever there's only one tashahud, then this one is the tashahud al-akhir. And whenever there's two tashahud, then the second one is the tashahud al-akhir. So the last tashahud before the taslim, this one is a pillar. The last tashahud before the taslim, this one is a pillar. And sitting for it likewise is a pillar. As for whenever there's two tashahud, the first one is an obligation and not a pillar. The first one is an obligation, it's a wajib, and it's not a pillar, it's not a rukn. And likewise, sitting for it is a wajib and not a rukn as well. And that which indicates this, I mean, the difference between the two. Somebody may say, what's the difference between the two? Because we have seen the evidence for the fact that it's an obligation, rather that it's a pillar. From the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered them to make the tashahud in this manner. Likewise, he said, إِذَا قَعَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, indicating that sitting likewise for the tashahud as well is an obligation. So what determines the difference between the level of this obligation is the fact that it is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he left the tashahud al-awwal one time forgetfully, and he did not go back to it, and he sufficed sallallahu alayhi wasallam by making sujood as-sahw in the end. So this narration here, which is muttafaqun alayhi from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifies that this tashahud is an obligation, no doubt, because of the original order for that. But the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left it whenever he forgot, and he did not return back to it, rather he corrected that by making the two sujood of forgetfulness, this is an indication that it's lesser than a pillar. Had it been a pillar, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have brought that pillar and not suffice with making sujood sahu. So whenever he made sujood the sahu for this particular action here, this is an indication that it's not a pillar. But the fact that it was ordered, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made it a muwadhaba in performing it, meaning he always and consistently performed this particular action, is an indication that it's an obligation. Is an obligation. So these actions that we have been discussing as statements, they're all obligatory. They're all obligatory. But one of them, the obligation is greater than the other, and they're called arkan. And the others that are obligatory, but they're not as stern, and they're called wajibat. Then they're called wajibat. So sitting for it likewise is a pillar. This is the eighth pillar that the author he mentioned. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention on the tashahud, they say what tashahudu ala ghayri man qama imamuhu sahwa. At-tashahud yani yakunu wajiban min al-wajibat ala ghayri man qama imamuhu sahwa. That at-tashahud al-awwal, at-tashahud al-awwal yani yakunu wajiban ala ghayri man qama imamuhu sahwa. That this first tashahud, it's an obligation upon other than the one who his imam stood up forgetfully. Yani, so meaning that if somebody is praying behind the imam and his imam stands up forgetfully and leaves the tashahud, now it's not an obligation on the ma'mum. Now it's not an obligation on the ma'mum, it falls off. Rather, what's an obligation for the ma'mum to do is to stand up and follow the imam. It's to stand up and to follow the imam. So التشهد الأول واجب من واجبات الصلاة على غير من قام إمامه سهوا. It's an obligation, but not on the one whom his imam stood up forgetfully. So if the imam he stood up forgetfully and he left the تشهد الأول, he will not return to that. He will not return to that if he stood all the way up, because now he has stood all the way up into a pillar, and he will not leave that pillar and go back to an obligation which is less. Its level is lower. So he'll not leave the one that is higher and more emphasized for the one that is lesser, and the one for the one that is lower in its rank. So therefore he will leave it. And likewise the one behind him, even though he knows initially it's an obligation upon him, he will stand up and leave it as well, because his imam forgot. Because his imam forgot. So now that obligation falls off the ma'mum. In that position, it falls off the one praying behind the imam in that position, and then in the end, the imam he will prostrate. In the end, the imam he will prostrate, and the one praying behind the imam will prostrate along with him. Will prostrate along with him. If the imam forgets something, then those praying behind him, whenever they realize that, they will say, "Subhanallah." They will make the tasbih in order to inform the imam. In order to inform the imam and notify him that he had made a mistake, so this will draw his attention to know where he's at, and likewise to make sujood as-sahu in the end. To make sujood as-sahu in the end. Here, standing up and leaving the tashahud al-awwal forgetfully, the people of knowledge, they mentioned if he stood all the way up, or he stood more than halfway up, then he will just keep on going. So if the imam, he goes to stand up, and he is on the way up, and he's on the way up, and he's more closer to standing than sitting, then he will not go back down. The people behind him will say Subhanallah, but he will not go back down. He will not go back down. Rather, he will continue, and he will fix that, making sujood as-sahw, because now he's already moved into the next pillar. Because now he's already moved into the next pillar. As for if he's reminded or he remembers, before he stands all the way up, قَبْرَ أَنْ يَسْتَتِمَّ قَائِمًا. قَبْرَ أَنْ يَسْتَتِمَّ قَائِمًا. Before he stands all the way up, then he'll go back down. Then he'll go back down. So if a person, for example, is praying and then he forgot to make a tashahud al-awwal, and then he's about to stand up, and he's making the movement, getting ready to stand up, but he has not stood all the way up yet. Then he remembers, he will go back down. He will go back down, and he will catch that property. But as for if he stood all the way up, or he stood all the way up, or almost stood all the way up, he's on his way to standing all the way up, then now, yani, he will not return back to that position, because he's already moved to the next pillar, and Allah knows best. Because he has already moved to the next pillar, and Allah knows best. So the majority of the people of knowledge, the majority of the scholars, especially from the four madhahib, they find that the statements and actions of salah are only two categories. They're fara'id and sunan. Fara'id and sunan. Fara'id, we have seen, this is another terminology for al-arkan. For al-arkan. The fara'id is another term for the arkan. And so the term is different, but the understanding of the term is the same. So we have arkan, which means pillars, and we have fara'id, which means obligations. But what is intended by the fara'id, by the obligations here, are pillars. Are pillars. And then we have sunan. So the majority of the scholars, they divide the statements and actions of the prayer to fara'id and sunan. Fara'id and sunan. Yani pillars and recommended acts. Pillars and recommended acts. With the Hanabira, they divide them into three categories. Arkan, which are the fara'id, and the wajibat, and the sunan. The arkan, which are the fara'id, and the wajibat, and the sunan. And here, from what we have mentioned, these evidences, these are the proofs clarifying that they are not sunan. That these statements here and actions, they're not sunan, rather they're obligations. Because of these narrations here from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's ordering the people to perform these particular statements. He's ordering the people to perform these particular statements. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he consistently made the prayer in this manner. And also he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. So all of this is an indication here that these actions, they are from the obligations. They're not recommended affairs. If it's a recommended affair, a person could leave it. If it was a recommended affair, for example, a person, whenever he moves to ruku', he could say Allahu Akbar if he wants to. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. His prayer will be correct upon that understanding. If he wanted to sit for tashahud, it's a sunnah. It's good. Meaning, if it's a sunnah, from a sunnah is salah, meaning that the one who performs it, he has a more perfect and complete prayer, and he has a greater reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. But if he were to leave it, even intentionally, then the prayer will still be correct. I mean, this is a sunnah. This is from the sunnah of the prayer. So, no doubt, there are a number of sunnah from the prayer. But these particular actions here, their level, their rank in these issues, the darajah or the quwwah, they're higher than that, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for these statements to be made, and he made them himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam consecutively and consistently. And likewise, he said to pray as he prayed sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for this reason, Allah knows best. These are obligations. The prayer will not be correct without them. The prayer will not be correct without them. Without them. So after this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, فَالْأَرْكَانُ مَا سَقَطَ مِنْهَا سَهْوًا أَوْ عَمْدًا بَطَلَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بِتَرْكِهِ وَالْوَاجِبَاتُ مَا سَقَطَ مِنْهَا سَهْوًا جَبَرَهُ سُجُودُ السَّهْوُ وَعَمْدًا بَطَلَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بِتَرْكِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ. So the author, he says, fil arkan, the pillars, if one of them falls off out of forgetfulness or intentionally, then the prayer will be invalidated by leaving it. The prayer will be invalidated by leaving it, the pillar. One of these actions that is considered a pillar, one of these actions or statements that is considered a pillar, if it is left because of forgetfulness or on purpose, then the prayer will be invalidated. That prayer will be invalidated. If a person, he forgot it and didn't bring it, his prayer is invalidated. If a person, he left it intentionally, his prayer is invalidated. The difference here is that the one who left it forgetfully, although his prayer will be invalidated, he's not sinning, because he's not taking into account for what he had done unintentionally. And the one who leaves it intentionally, also his prayer is invalidated. But he is, along with that, sinning for leaving off this pillar intentionally. As for the one who left it out of ignorance, then we have seen the prayer of that time will be considered invalidated, and he must correct it and repeat it whenever he learns. As for those previous prayers, he will not be ordered to repeat them. And that was what was understood from the hadith of al-Musi' salatahu, which has preceded. فَالْأَرْكَانُ مَا سَقَطَ مِنْهَا سَهْوًا أَوْ عَمْدًا بَطَلَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بِتَرْكِهِ بِطَرْكِهِ. So a pillar, if a person, he left it out of forgetfulness and he did not bring it, then his salah is invalidated. If he left it, he forgot. he forgot, and then he did not remember until after the prayer is over that this will invalidate the prayer. This will invalidate the prayer. If it's briefly, if he remembers briefly after the prayer, then he can go back and fix it and then make two sujood. If he missed, for example, one of the pillars in the last rak'ah, and then he remembers after he makes salam and is briefly after that, then he can bring that one rak'ah and make sujood as-sahw to fix it. He can bring one rak'ah and make sujood as-sahw to fix it, so long as he didn't break his wudu. So long as he didn't break his wudu, or the time didn't pass for any what's considered normally a long period, then he will rectify it by bringing that which he forgot. As for if the time passed for some period where he broke his wudu, then he will have to repeat the whole prayer. Then he will have to repeat the whole prayer. What if a person, for example, he prayed the salah and he forgot to recite the Fatiha, and he never remembered. The author, he's saying here that the person who prayed and he left one of the pillars, then his prayer is invalidated. Yani by that. So if this person, he prayed and he left the pillar, he forgot to recite the Fatiha, for example, but he never remembered.
The whole salah?
His whole life. His whole life, he never remembered.
Because it's lost. So when you have a defect like that, they take consideration the sunnah prayers to
on the day of judgment. Ahsanta, ahsanta. This is a good understanding. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that. Yani Allah knows best this person here, because he did not know. In his creed, in his belief, he had thought that he performed the obligation. He intended to perform the obligation. He gave the effort to perform the obligation in order to fulfill that right. And he forgot, and he never remembered. So then he fulfilled what was upon him. So we wouldn't say that in his right, the prayer is correct. In his right, the prayer is correct, because he never remembered. He did what is the obligation for him. So we will not say that this person, he meets Allah Azza wa Jal and he left the prayer, or he did not pray that prayer. Allah knows best, he fulfilled what was upon him, because he did not know. Had he remembered, he would have brought it. So if a person, he forgot a pillar, for example, and never remembered, inshallah, he's excused for that. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the meaning of the narration the brother he's referring to, about the fact that the first thing people will be taken to account for their deeds, as salah, is the prayer. The first thing that people will be taken to account from their deeds is the prayer. And if the prayer is good, then the rest of their deeds are good. And then if they have deficiency in their prayer, it will be said, look into their non-obligatory prayer to rectify that. So this could be a means to rectify the likes of that also. This has been mentioned. So in any case, just to understand, this is the general statement the author he's making, that the one who left off a pillar, even forgetfully or intentionally, then the prayer will not be correct. So if a person, he left a pillar and he remembered in the same rak'ah, then he'll go back to it. Then he'll go back to it and he'll bring it and he can fix it in this manner. So a person, for example, if he forgot to recite the Fatiha, But he remembered whenever he's in sujood. What would he do? He remembered he made the first sajda. So he still has to make a second sajda. And the first sajda he remembers. What would he do? He will stand up without saying Allahu Akbar. He will stand back up to the pillar that he left. And he will recite the Fatiha. And then after that, what will he do? Go back down to sujood and finish the second one? Now all of that had preceded is also invalidated. Why? At-tartib, ahsanta. Because from the pillars of salah, we have seen that at-tartib, they must be performed in order. So he forgot that pillar. So he now, all of that he did before that is invalidated. So he will stand up and go back to that pillar and bring it and everything after it. And now that rak'ah is rectified. But now he has to make sujood as-sahw in the end. As for if he didn't remember until he stood up to the next rak'ah, the people of knowledge, they say, and he starts reciting, and he goes to the next pillar of reciting the Fatiha, then now that previous rak'ah is invalidated, mulghat. It's invalidated and it doesn't count. And the one that he's in takes the place of that one. And the one that he's in takes the place of that one. And then he will make the two sujood to sahu in the end. And the prayer is correct. And the prayer is correct. So this is how to fix that. This is how to fix that. And as for the wajibat, the author he says, وَالْوَاجِبَاتُ مَا سَقَطَ مِنْهَا سَهْوًا جَبَرَهُ سُجُودُ السَّهْوِ. As for the obligations, that which one left off because of forgetfulness, then he will rectify that by making the prostration of forgetfulness. And وَعَمْدًا بَطَلَتِ السَّلَاتُ بِتَرْكِهِ. As for intentionally, then the prayer will be invalidated by leaving it. So the person, for example, he went to ruku' and he forgot to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. He forgot to say it. He went to ruku' and he's thinking he didn't say anything, for example, and then he raised back up. He left off an obligation. So now what would he do? When he stands back up, he remembers. Will he go back to it and bring it? No, the obligations, you don't have to go back and bring them. You don't go back and bring them. If you leave it and go to the next position, it's left. If somebody forgot it on accident and move to the next position, you leave it. You don't come back to it. He says here, جَبَرَهُ سُجُودُ سَهُ. You rectify that, you fix that error, that forgetfulness, that mistake, by making the prostration of forgetfulness. So these are the conditions and the pillars and the obligations of the prayer. And we have also seen along with that some of the sunan of the prayer. And in reality, the sunan, they are many. And there are even more details with regards to the rites of as-salah and the rulings of as-salah, the obligatory and the non-obligatory. These are the majority of the issues. We have taken them in these classes, alhamdulillah. And we have seen in the beginning, likewise, the status of the prayer and the importance of the prayer. And that the one who observes the prayer properly, he has a covenant and a promise with Allah Azza wa Jal. And in these five daily prayers specifically, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهِنَّ كَانَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدٌ أَنْ يُدْخِلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The one who observes them properly, daily, he maintains them correctly, the five daily prayers, then he has a covenant with Allah to enter him into paradise. He has a covenant with Allah to enter him into paradise. And وَمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهِنَّ كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا وَبُرْهَانًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. There will be a light for him and a proof for him on the day of resurrection. And those who leave it, or they do not maintain it, they do not uphold this prayer properly, they will not be a proof for him. They will not be a light for him on the day of resurrection. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Buraydah ibn Husayb radiyallahu anhu, al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. That the ahd, the covenant, the farq between us and them, between us and the hypocrites, between us and the disbelievers, the difference between us, the covenant that we have with Allah, distinguishing us between them is the prayer, is the salah. So therefore, whoever leaves it, he has disbelieved. And in the hadith of, this is in the Sunan, in Arba'ah, and also in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Jabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between a man and between shirk and disbelief is leaving the prayer. So the prayer, it has to be observed. It has to be maintained. It has to be upheld. It has to be performed properly and correctly in the proper time, fulfilling all of the conditions. And likewise, these pillars and obligations. And even better than that, along with the sunan. And this is the covenant that we have. This is the relationship. This is the bond that keeps us connected to our Lord. That's the prayer. And the one who leaves it, he leaves that bond and he leaves that relationship and turns his back on that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. For this reason, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, لَا حَظَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِتَارِكِ الصَّلَاةِ. The one who leaves the salah, he has no share of Islam for the one who left the prayer. No share. in Islam, and his portion of Islam is gone. So by leaving this is something that's very, very severe, something that is very major. So therefore the prayer, we have to have concern for it and performing it properly, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly.
The question I want to ask is that kufa, or is it the stern one?
Allah knows best. The majority of the scholars, they find it to be lesser than major disbelief. But the Imam Ahmed and other than him, they find it to be major disbelief. And also Shaykh Uthaymeen, and also Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahum Allah, and others as well. Likewise, Shaykh Uthaymeen ibn Taymiyyah, they all mentioned that this is clear disbelief, meaning a person, he's not a Muslim. A person, he's not a Muslim. We discussed this issue in brief detail in the beginning of this work on the first class. On the first class, some of the statements of the scholars with regards to that. And also we talked about the difference between al-juhud. There's no difference with regards to that. The one who denies the obligation, whether he prayed or not, he's a disbeliever, waliyadhu billah. The issue here is about the one who leaves the prayer out of laziness while affirming that it's an obligation. Then there's the issue of how many prayers does he have to leave. A number of the people of knowledge mentioned that if he left one prayer on purpose, without excuse, until the time went out, then he disbelieved in this manner. In any case, it's very severe. So a believer, he will not leave the prayer. He will not leave the prayer. Rather, the prayer will be beloved to him because he loves it, because of his love for Islam. Because of his love for al-Islam, his love for Allah Azza wa Jal will carry him to establish the prayer. There have been a number of details that we have discussed in these classes, alhamdulillah, and there are many more, actually, in reality, many issues related to the prayer. All of this is clarifying the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these details that we have discussed just in this small text about the salah, and the conditions of salah, about the wudu and the tahara, and the conditions of tahara, and then likewise about the pillars of the prayer and the obligations of the prayer, and then there's also the issue of the sunan of the prayer and the manner to perfect the prayer, and there's also about the obligatory prayer and the voluntary prayer. So many more issues and so many more details, so many more rulings. We have only taken a few of them, some of the most important of them. And the one who brought this prayer, and the one who ordered for this prayer, and the one who clarified this prayer and informed the people of these rulings, he was a man who could not read nor could he write. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could not read nor could he write. Al-Nabi al-Ummi. Al-Nabi al-Ummi. He could not read nor could he write. But all of these rulings, detailed rulings, if you do this, if you don't do that, if you move this way, if you move that, when you're here you say this, when you're there you say that. All of these great, great details, conditions and requirements and pillars and obligations and recommended affairs to perfect the action of worship. And he's so much great detail had come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the issue of salah. So many great details have come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the issue of salah, and he could not read nor could he write. And before he was granted prophethood, he never mentioned the likes of these affairs. Again, clarifying that this is all revelation, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, huwa abdullahi wa rasuluhu, he is the slave of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I would like to remind myself and my noble brothers, barakallahu fikum, that knowledge is heavy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed this knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned about that, inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. That indeed we're going to reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heavy speech. This knowledge that we sit and discuss here in these classes, this is the knowledge of the revelation, which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That he does not speak from his desires, it's only revelation revealed. That which we're discussing in these classes is the knowledge of the revelation, which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's called al-ilm al-shar'i, the legislative knowledge. And it is heavy. And it could even be heavier whenever it's in the English language and coupled with the Arabic language. It can become heavy going back between mustalahat, between terminology, there's terminology in the Arabic language, there's words in the Arabic language that have meanings, and then these words, they have legislative meanings in the Arabic language. And then to express that and explain that and clarify that in English, sometimes it is difficult and can be heavy, and likewise, it takes time. But in these days, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned the greatest effort that one can make is to seek knowledge and to teach. Is to seek knowledge and to teach. The greatest jihad in these days, and the greatest effort striving in the path of Allah, is to strive to learn the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to teach that and to spread that knowledge. And to teach that and to spread that knowledge. So this is something that's very great. And I know sometimes the classes, maybe they will be long, or the text, maybe somebody's look at it, this is small. How come it takes so many classes? But in these days, we're in need of detailed knowledge, especially in the English language. Especially in the English language. The people who speak English are many, and the language is very common and used all over the world. And for this information to reach them in detail, this is very important. For the detailed information of the legislation and law, especially the creed. Especially the creed, and even as well also the actions and the law and legislation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be clarified in detail in the English language, clear for the people to understand, this is very important. And I hope that these efforts will be very beneficial for the ummah. So therefore we should be patient. We should be patient. It's very easy for a person, for example, to say the Fatiha has a pillar and to move on. And this is a pillar and to move on. But there are so many details related to that. So the way that I look at it many times is that whenever it's mentioned the Fatiha has a pillar, then somebody may say, what about for the one praying behind the imam? Or somebody may say, what about for this one? Or what about in that case? Or what about for the one who doesn't know how to recite the Fatiha? What about for the new Muslim? Whenever all I read this text, all these ideas come to my mind. So therefore, I want to answer these questions and make them available for the people. So before a person can ask these questions, whenever we have the class, they're already answered in the class. So maybe questions, they come up in the mind of some of us, but before the class is finished, or at least before the text is done, those questions will be answered. That's my effort, and that's what I'm trying to do many times in order to spread the knowledge as much as we can. We don't know how long we're going to be alive. We don't know how long we're going to be healthy. We don't know how long we're going to have the desire to learn and to teach. Maybe our hearts will be changed, but yadu billah, we do not know. So long as a person, he's alive, and he has the desire, and he has the health, and he has the time, he should take advantage of that. So this is what we're trying to do, to spread as much correct, proper, legislative knowledge based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf with proof and evidence from the book and the authentic narrations as much as we can. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to accept from us our efforts and to make the knowledge a benefit and a life for us. So I apologize to my brother, sometimes the class may be long, but inshallah there's benefit in that. Going through the ayat and then translating them, going through the hadith and then translating them, going through the rulings that are based upon that. And many times I know individuals, many of us, we have knowledge. Some of us have background knowledge. And some of us have misunderstandings. And also many times in these texts, there are opportunities to address issues that we're facing in our communities that are problems and that are misunderstandings and the likes like this. So I like to take advantage of those points, even though they're not directly related to our topic, to mention that advice. To mention that advice in order to bring the best benefit that we can for the ummah, because indeed we are in need of knowledge. The reason why we're in the humiliation that we're in, to summarize, is because of jahl. Because of ignorance. Because of ignorance of the deen of Allah. Because of ignorance of the tawheed of Allah. Because of ignorance of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of ignorance, what's going to happen whenever we die. Because of ignorance, what's going to happen whenever we die? Ignorance of that affair, that the angels will take our souls and that we'll be held accountable and that there's a life in the grave. And after that, there's a resurrection and there's a reality and there's a Lord, and He's great. He's powerful and strong, and He's kind and merciful, but also He's severe in punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be patient in learning and spreading knowledge. And this is the greatest jihad in these days. This is what the people of knowledge, they mentioned, the greatest jihad in these days. The greatest jihad in these days is not with a weapon. Rather, the believers, they don't have the weapons. They don't have the ability to fight with a weapon, because they can't even fight their own desires. They can't even fight their own desires. They can't even fight the shayateen from inside themselves to establish the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla in their life and in their homes. And their life and in their homes. Many of us are affected by shubuhat and misconceptions in tawheed and the foundation of the deen. Misconceptions with regards to dua and calling on the grave besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Others with regards to misconceptions in the sunnah and following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taking as a role model. Others, they have no misconceptions whatsoever, but they just prefer to follow their desires and they imitate the disbelievers and they think they're on a great way. And the likes like this. So all of this is something that can only be rectified after the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal by knowledge. By knowledge, by spreading knowledge, by clarifying the truth in detail, by mentioning the ayat and mentioning the understanding property, and also mentioning the hadith and the benefits from the hadith. So this is a path that requires patience. We have to be patient. I ask my brothers to be patient with me in this effort, and we ask Allah to make us sincere. Barakallahu fikum. Anyone who has a question or a comment or a correction, we can take that while we're waiting for the adhan. We're waiting for the iqama. The iqama is adhan. Bayna kuli adhanaini salah. Naam. Jazakallah khairan. Ahsan. The iqama. Reading Surah Al-Fatiha.
No, the Surah after.
The Sunnah. Everything that's not mentioned now is Sunnah. Everything else, the people don't know, as they say, now after we study, everything else that you know about the prayer authentically on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that's not discussed previously is Sunnah. Everything else is Sunnah. Any meaning that it's recommended and from the perfection and the completion of the prayer. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.